This painting is called The Source. This painting is 7 feet by 5 feet, acrylic and spray paint on canvas. This is a unique painting in that I don't work in this size very often, both because it takes a very long time and because it represents a significant amount of intellectual and emotional pain and anguish over getting it finished and even on working on a design this large with this much detail. So this painting, I would think of it as really the first fleshed out plus ultra style painting. This was a style I'd been working towards developing for years through other paintings and other concepts. I did a beta version before this just to make sure that I was correct on some of my processes to get this look. But this style, this architecture, this coloring, this way of achieving depth, and even depth that's unreal or hyperreal, however you want to think about it, this is the culmination of and the first successful iteration of Plus Ultra, which I developed for Jack and Aeon storyline, the Jack the Space Dog story. This, if you look at it closely, there is a hidden image amongst the myriad of other images, which if you will step back a couple of feet, tilt your head to the right, if you look at the outline around what is sort of obvious power source in the middle, if you follow the outline of that going from the left up through to the middle center of the painting and then take a look at some of the pipe-like structures on the right, you will see that this makes the outline and some of the major structures of the anatomy of a human heart. This is where the name The Source comes from. The heart is both the physical and spiritual source of power in the human body and often gets anthropomorphized as the center of feeling and emotion for humanity as a whole. So I wanted to use that as well as some of the iconography in here to represent what is to me one of the most important stories of my life, which is this Jack the Space Dog story. The story is both a fictional story, but also takes some cues and some personalities from my own life and is the whole focus of my artistic outpouring from here forward. And this was the first successful time where I was able to represent what in my head this world looked like, both in the impact it has when you see the image because of the way I treat depth and color, but also you can start to see hints of the architecture that becomes iconic for the civilization that plays an integral role in the trajectory of Jack and Aeon's adventures and their life moving forward. So you'll notice another sort of artistic flex that I worked on quite a bit on this painting, which was to create and conceive and paint fractals from scratch by hand. Generally, most fractals that you see that are drawn are, if they're drawn, they're either two-dimensional, simplified, or the fractals that you will see that are a three-dimensional representation are almost always computer generated because it's an iterative process using mathematics. I tried to conceptualize them in a way that I could reproduce them by hand in three dimensions. If you're not familiar with fractals, fractals are a form of geometry in which you take a given equation with two unknowns, both at the beginning and at the end, where the answer will be. Once you get the answer, you plug it back into the beginning of the equation and run it again. These give you plot points. Hundreds of thousands of plot points begin to make a two-dimensional image that has its own self-iterating morphology as it goes along. It changes slightly by angle and size, but if you zoom in, the fractal is the same. You can zoom in as long as you want. The fractal continues to repeat and the pattern continues to be the same, or you can zoom out as far as you want, and the same is true. You can see that represented mostly on the left-hand side, both in the spheres that iterate continuously and repetitively all the way down into the lower center of the painting, and in these almost jelly-like or sea creature-like forms up at the top, which, if you look at them, are really the very same form that running out at a 45-degree angle from the upper right corner, that same structure is iterated from different angles moving all the way through that corner of the painting. These are very difficult things to do, and it was something that I wanted to do, and so I came up with methods and ways of looking at it so that I could reproduce it in a way that's doable without a plotting computer or without machine generation. Almost everything you see is some sort of fractal. Some are randomized fractals or fractals using Brownian motion, meaning it's hard to tell that it's a fractal. So erosion of a mountain produces shapes that are non-iterative fractal geometry. fractals that you might recognize is when you look up through tree branches and you see that the branches start to bifurcate at shorter and shorter intervals, but they're always splitting in two. The next interval will be shorter, but the branch will split off at the same angle as the previous split. And this will keep going and going and going until you end up with the tip of the branch. Other examples are generally the ratios of the human body, the way in which clusters of bubbles form when you have bubbles in water or soap bubbles on top of some sort of liquid. The fractals that I've represented here are non-natural fractals. They follow the geometry exactly as opposed to relatively. In nature, things tend to follow a relative fractal geometry, which can even be accounted for with variation in the equations. But what I've chosen to do are what people think of as perfect fractals, or fractals that are perfect all the way down. From the farthest macro view you can get to it, all the way to the smallest micro view, the iteration is perfect and it's the same and it is completely predictable. If you'll look at the center where the power core is sort of sitting at the middle, splitting the two halves of the heart, the two lower sections of the heart, you'll see radiating out from the telescope-like piece right above it a series of crystalline panes done in a blue and purple. They are sort of beveled edged crystalline hexagons. So I use these here specifically to really stretch and push and interplay with things that were close and far behind. I had already done it with the circular fractals, the spheroid fractals on the lower right side, but I wanted something that both traveled from the furthest distance in the painting all the way up to the closest distance. I used these traveling panes to give you a deeper sense of depth that's maybe not right in your face, but once you notice it, you can't unsee it. And it really pushes the whole composition towards a depth that you would probably not be able to see this whole painting if you were there in person. You would have to turn your head left to right, up to down to actually see all these things. I have both a feeling of the image bending around you without actually warping it or morphing it or bending it like a lens would to actually show you all of this. So that's what I mean when I say I like my compositions to be more real than real. You can see all of it as though you're there in a wider field of view than you could even experience it if you were there, if this place really existed. This is more than you could even see in your field of vision, no matter how far you backed out from it. So if you'll look on the lower left-hand side, you'll see that I've sort of tessellated some hexagon tiles in up higher and lower levels. Some of this is, again, a thing that I did because I knew it would look dynamic, and also it's difficult to do and have it look perfect. They bend a little bit around the edge of the painting and around the corner of the painting. They both bend back away from you and they bend up along the side of the composition. Both of those things are difficult to achieve visually, but what it does is brings you from the blue light source on the left side of the painting that sort of looks like a lookout tower of some kind or like a lighthouse. The blue source of light that sort of looks like a lighthouse tipped on its side over on the right-hand side of the painting. It brings you from that, walks you down along the tessellating tiles of hexagons as they bend down towards the center of the painting. These lead you to the bottom center, and the circular fractals lead you down to the bottom center of the painting. Those allow you to then walk through this twisting, winding path that disappears all the way into the depths of the heart. Many things in this painting originate out of or follow the lines of the curves within this twisting maze of the heart. In fact, much of the composition you'll notice as you look around, you'll start somewhere and some element or some color will lead you to the thing next to it, which will lead you to the thing next to it, and so on, giving this style specifically a feeling of never getting tired and never being able to see it all, even though you're looking at the whole painting. This part of the plus ultra style is a leading with form and other artistic illusions to keep your eye moving around the painting in a way that it always feels new and you never get tired of the composition. You never feel like you've just seen it. Someone even told me once that the painting is almost exhausting, which I get that. That makes sense. It's kind of what I'm going for. I hope it takes a lot of energy to look at it in a positive way.